हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। हरे कृष्णा, वेरी हैप्पी टू बी हियर दिस इवनिंग। आई बीन हियर सिंस अबाउट लास्ट 5 days, बट आई वॉज इन मोस्टली इन लगुना बीच एरिया, एंड देन नो इट्स अबाउट बीन अबाउट अ वीक एक्चुअली। I came on last Monday, I think, and I was in Laguna Beach area. Then on Thursday I went to Santa Barbara to meet Giriraj Maharaj, a very dear god brother of mine, and I was very fortunate to have the association of Indradumna Maharaj also there. He also just came, so three of us had a wonderful time. Then yesterday I flew to Sacramento also to meet another very dear god brother of mine, Udayananda Prabhu. And today I am here, very happy to be here with you all. And I heard Radhanath Maharaj is also here. So I haven't met him as yet. He had been here also for the last 4 or 5 days. Naikatma Prabhu, I was thinking, why don't Radhanath Maharaj and I give the Sunday feast tomorrow together? So let's find. I was trying to contact him, but his phone is not answering. And he is in Topanga Canyon today. I tried to call Nrisingananda Prabhu also. But I spoke to his wife, Lalita Manjari, and she is going to convey it to him. Where is the program? 6 p.m. When is the Sunday feast program here? 5 to 6. He can go there. How long does it take to go from here to that? Half hour. So you can be there at 6:30. Anyway, we'll do something about it. Or what we can do is, probably he can speak for half an hour, and then he can go, and then we can continue. It'll be nice. Let's see what you can do. I remember last time I was here, Radhanath Maharaj was here also, Giriraj Maharaj also showed up. We were in Laguna Beach, and we gave a program, three of us together. It's very nice. It was. I just received a very sad news that Sudama Das, he's actually connected mainly to Laguna Beach Temple. He had an accident. He fell off a two-story roof and had a head and chest injury. Rupanuga actually conveyed that message to me. Any more news, Rupanuga? Who actually conveyed this to you? Adya Prabhu is there. Which hospital he is in? Western Medical Center. Where is it? In Santa Ana area. Until what time they'll be open, or until what time can one visit? 24 hours. So maybe on my way to Orange County tonight, I will go to see him. Can you please find out? Maybe we all can go. Will you be? No, you stay. You go home. You go home, we'll go there. because Rupanuga also had an open heart surgery. And it's actually because of Rupanuga that I am here. I was supposed to leave America from New York on 3rd of this month. When I got to know that he had this very critical surgery, open heart surgery, quadruple bypass he had, so I decided to come and see him. And I thought that I would come and see him totally bedridden. But guess where I saw him? I saw him in the airport. He came to receive me. So anyway, we will. I would like to go and see him this evening. So today's topic is Srila Prabhupada's inconceivable achievements. Srila Prabhupada, what he did is inconceivable. No one has ever done that before, and no one can even conceive of such an achievement. In order to properly understand Prabhupada's achievements, we have to go back to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have to understand who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what is his plan. Now, in order to properly understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to go back to Krishna. Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the origin of all the incarnations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself. They are known as avatars. The Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in this material nature, and that is called avatar or incarnations. There are innumerable incarnations of Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 22 different incarnations have been described of Krishna. And then it has been mentioned, it has been stated that all these personalities, there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're the expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they are Krishna, they are the parts and parts of the parts. Ete changsha kala pungsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Like Ram, Nrisingha, Varaha, Kurma, Narayan, Vishnu. So they are all the expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma Samhita, in two verses, gives that understanding very clearly. One is, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan Nana Avataram Akarod Bhubaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paramah Pumanjo. Ram Adi. Adi, the word Adi means etc. Ram and other incarnations. Ram, Adi, Murtishu, all these incarnations are Kala Niyamena Tishthan. They are the expansions and expansions of expansions. But Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parama Pumanjo. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is one statement. Now, what is the difference between different incarnations and Krishna? Again, Brahma Samhita is making that point. Deeparchireva hi dasantaram appupetya deepayati vibrito hestu samana dharma jastadrigeva hi cha vishnu taya vibhati govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. The example is given this way. Just as one lamp lights up many other lamps, once they are lit, they give out the same amount of light and heat. But the first lamp, is the original lamp that lit all the other lamps. So in this way, Krishna is the original personality from whom all the different incarnations have become manifest. The point is, these incarnations of Krishna are non-different from Krishna himself. Krishna is one without a second. That is the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he expands, and there is no difference between him and his expansions. And that is the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This cannot be understood from any material calculation. Like materially it is not possible. Like one can become many and retains his identity in all these expansions. Materially it's not possible. But spiritually it happens. Krishna expands just like Krishna is in every single living entity's heart. Krishna is in the heart of everybody. In everybody's heart Krishna is situated. Still Krishna is one without a second. Krishna's incarnations are innumerable. Still Krishna is one without a second. That means all these incarnations are non-different from him. Thus, he himself is expanding. Say for example, when Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. There's no difference between Balaram and Krishna. But still, they're playing the role of two different personalities. Then there is an expansion of Chaturbhuha and Dwarka. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then there are expansions in Vaikuntha, Narayan. In many, many personalities, supreme personalities are presiding over many planets, spiritual planets in Vaikuntha. Still there is no difference. Then this Narayan, has a Chaturbhuha, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. And then from this Shankarshan, expands Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean. This Vishnu aspect is for creating the material nature. When Krishna gets involved in the creation and maintenance of this material nature, that aspect of Krishna is Vishnu. So in this way, Krishna is expanding in an innumerable way, but he is still the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, Krishna has two types of expansions. One is Swamsa and the other is Bibhinnamsa. Swamsa means he himself is expanding into so many different incarnations. They are non-different from him. Swamsa, his own expansions. But Bibhinnamsas is separated parts and parcels. And we are those separated parts and parcels. Jivas. An example can be given in this respect, just as the sun and the rays of the sun. From the sun, innumerable rays are coming out. Now, qualitatively, all those rays of the sun are non-different from the sun. But sun is absolute and those rays are minute parts and parcels of the sun. Qualitatively, a ray also is giving out light and heat, like the sun. But it's just a minute manifestation of the sun's energy. So our identity, or we are like the rays. Qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. The jivas. Whereas the incarnations can be described as from one sun in the sky, he becomes two. Now between these two suns there is no difference. Then becomes three, four, five, six, and it keeps on growing, increasing, but they all are non-different. Same personality, possessing the same same amount of potency, but there is a difference in display. In Krishna, all his energies, all his qualities are fully manifest. Whereas in other incarnations, like in his incarnations, they are not expressed to that extent. Like for example, Krishna is endowed with 64 qualities. Whereas Narayan is endowed with 60 qualities. Lord Shiva is endowed with 55 qualities. Lord Brahma is endowed with 50 qualities. A jiva can display only up to these 50 qualities. Lord Shiva displays 55. In Narayan there is a display of 60, and in Krishna all these 64 qualities are fully manifest. That Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual sky consists of innumerable spiritual planets known as Vaikuntha. But Krishna resides in Vrindavan, which is beyond Vaikuntha. Although different incarnations, man appear in this material nature quite frequently, like practically most of the incarnations that have been described in the scriptures, they appear in every time cycle of yugas, chatur yugas. But Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears only in once in a day of Brahma. Okay, now what's the link between chatur yugas and a day of Brahma? Chatur Yuga means Satta, Treta, Dwapar and Kali. This makes one Chatur Yuga. The duration of one Chatur Yuga is 4.32 million years. And in a day of Brahma there are 1,000 Chatur Yugas. 1,000 Chatur Yugas make a day of Brahma. So, One Chaturyuga is 4.32 million years. Now, one day of Brahma consists of 1,000 such Chaturyugas. That means 4.32 million multiplied by 1,000 is 4.32 billion years. So in 4.32 billion years, or rather after 4.32 billion years, not even actually 4.32 billion years, there's another consideration. That's the length of Brahma's day. And same is the length of Brahma's night. So that means 8.64 billion years after Krishna comes. Krishna comes once in 8.64 billion years. That which Krishna? The original Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the identity of this original Supreme Personality of Godhead? The identity of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead is that He is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He eternally resides in Vrindavan. That is His abode. Son of Nanda Maharaj. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajesho Tanai. Krishna's identity is being described in this way. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj, not the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Vasudeva and Devaki, son Vasudev, appeared in Mathura. But this Krishna is different from that. Krishna Anna Jadu Sambhuta. The one who appeared in the Jadu dynasty is another Krishna. So this Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And Taddhama Vrindavanam, his abode is Vrindavan. Taddhama Vrindavanam. His abode is Vrindavan. He is not Krishna of Mathura or Krishna of Dwarka. Again, we are running back into the same point. Krishna, his incarnations, his expansions are non-different from him. Yet, they are different. Same personality expanding himself with his full potency, totally non-different. He is one without a second. Yet, we are finding that he not only second, he had many expansions. So the point is, when Krishna comes and displays his pastimes, he performs his pastimes in three different places. His pastimes in Dwarka, his pastimes in Mathura, and his pastimes in Vrindavan. This Krishna of Dwarka has been considered to be Purna or perfect, perfect manifestation of the Supreme Personality of God. It is Purna. Krishna in Mathura is Purnatama, more perfect. And Krishna in Vrindavan is Purnatama. Purna, Purnatara, Purnatama. Krishna in Dwarka is Purna, Krishna in Mathura is Purnatara, and Krishna in Vrindavan is Purnatama. Relative and superlative. So this is how, in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, Krishna's identity has been established. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He eternally resides in Vrindavan. So that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, comes once in the day of Brahma. That also has been described. When in the day of Brahma? In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. Manus are like, they are the ruler of different aspects of the day of Brahma. There are 14 Manus. This Manus can be compared to a foreman of a shift in a factory. Right? In a factory, you get shifts. One shift gets over, all the people from the factory, they leave. Another group comes and takes over the operations of the factory. And this group of machine man and technicians and all, they have a group leader. That's called the foreman. Right? So Manu is like the foreman. And the shift changes. When Manu changes, along with the change of Manu, all the shift changes, like Indra changes, Surya changes, all the demigods change, seven sages change. And at that time, like this Manu becomes the ruler of that phase. And so there are 14 Manus. So in a day of Brahma, there are 1,000 Chaturjugas and there are 14 Manus. So you divide 1,000 by 14, it's about 71 Chaturjugas. So one Manu's reign has the duration of 71 Chaturjugas. And the seventh Manu is Vaivarshata Manu, the son of Vivashvan, the seventh Manu. And in the seventh Manus, Vaivarshata Manus, 28th Chaturjugas, Dwapar Yuga, Krishna comes. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, who resides in Vrindavan, who is not, apparently he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is a cowherd boy. So that is Krishna. In Vaikuntha, the Narayans and other expansions, they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in Vrindavan, Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not displaying himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That has, of course, another reason behind that. So, anyway, so since we are getting into it, let's just go on. I was thinking like today I'm supposed to speak on Srila Prabhupada's inconceivable achievements and like, but at the same time I feel that it is important that you recognize who Krishna is, what's the special aspect of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Krishna in Vrindavan has a very special aspect, very special feature. He is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because when one knows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when a devotee knows that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his attitude will naturally be full of awe and reverence. That means, with folded hands, he submits himself. So that relationship is called relationship in servitorship. Krishna is the supreme, that Narayan in Vaikuntha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Lord and Master. If he is the Supreme Lord and Master, then what is everyone's relationship with him? That of a servant. So here he is the God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone else is his servant. But when we look at relationships, then we notice that there are some other relationships, other types of relationships that are more intimate than friend, than servitorship. Servant and master, between the servant and master, there is a relationship of love. But the relationship between friends is superior to or more intimate than the relationship between master and servant. Right? Then relationship between parents and children is even more intimate than between the friends. And relationship between husband and wife is even more intimate than the relationship between father and mother and children. Whether the parents will accept it or not, that's another thing. But that is the reality. Now the consideration is that how can there be these relationships with Krishna? Okay, the point here is, whatever is there in the material nature, and since the material nature is a reflection of the spiritual world, whatever is there in this material nature must be existing in the spiritual nature. If material nature is a reflection of the spiritual reality, then whatever is existing here must be there also. Just like if in a reflection you see the green leaves and red flowers and yellow fruits in the reflection, then you have to conclude that in the real tree there must be green leaves and yellow fruits and red flowers. Right? So now, don't we find these relationships here? Servitorship, relationship between servants and master, relationship between friends, relationships between parents and children, the relationship between lover and beloved. So spiritual means, okay, let's, now we're actually running into one point. What's the difference between material and spiritual nature? What's the difference between material nature and spiritual nature? Very good point. Material is temporary. But the actual definition, the difference between material and spiritual is that material nature is the nature where we are the center. And because we are temporary, the material nature is temporary. Right? So the difference between material and spiritual is that where we put ourselves in the center, that is material. Where we put Krishna in the center, where Krishna is the center, that is spiritual. Where we are the center, just consider, who is the center of this world? Be honest. So, this is the nature where every living entity is getting an opportunity to consider that he is the center. Somebody responded, Prabhupada, if you did that, then you are in the spiritual world. You are not in the material nature. But the nature where Krishna is the center, that is spiritual. So spiritual means, so material nature, what we are seeing different relationships that we have developed among ourselves. Different relationships that we are developing ourselves. We have relationships with some as master and servant. We have relationships as friends. We have relationships as parents. We have relationships as lovers and beloved. But in the spiritual nature, let's put it in that way. Krishna has relationships like that between master and servant. That is no problem. Vaikuntha is full of that relationship. But friendship? Now consider, friendship takes place between the equals. Now, who can become equal to Krishna to become his friend? Okay, friendship is among equals. Parental, a devotee becomes superior and Krishna becomes inferior. Who can become superior to God? And conjugal, a relationship like that of a boyfriend and a girlfriend. So how is it possible to develop these relationships with Krishna? Yes, we may not be able to develop these relationships with Krishna by being equal to him or superior to him. We may not be able to become equal or superior and so forth. But if Krishna wants, then he can become our equal. If Krishna wants, he can become our subordinate. And Vrindavan is the place where Krishna has become equal to his devotees, his friends, and subordinate to his parents, and a lover of the girls of damsels of Vrindavan. And that is the specialty of Vrindavan. Krishna has become. Therefore, the point that in Vrindavan, Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Vrindavan, Krishna is a cowherd boy. And as a cowherd boy, Krishna is actually enabling others to develop these relationships with him. That's the specialty of Vrindavan. Now, in order to enable them to develop these relationships, Krishna made them forget that he is God. But this is again is another kind of forgetfulness. This is not the forgetful. There are two types of forgetfulness. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadhish Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Mol. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki. So again, this is the due to the arrangement of Jogomaya. Yeah, as I was saying, like there are two types of forgetfulness. There, one kind of forgetfulness is forgetfulness out of ignorance. And that is not difficult to understand. We all suffer from that. But there is another kind of forgetfulness, that is forgetfulness out of love. The son has become the state president. But does the mother treat him like a state president? To the mother, he's her son. She doesn't treat him like a president. Rather, her attitude is, so what? You have become the state president. Yes, I'm proud of that, that you have become state president. But you are my son. That is my. That is what really matters to me. So that is the mood. That is the kind of forgetfulness that the residents of Vrindavan experience. That you may be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but so what? What really matters is we love you, Krishna. Without loving you, we can't stay. Even if you are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you are Supreme Personality of Godhead or not. What really matters is that you are the only object of our love. That is the mood of the devotees of Vrindavan. So Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead who resides in Vrindavan eternally, comes to this material nature once in a day of Brahma. On the 28th Chaturyuga of Vaivashyata Manu in Dwapar Yuga. And he reveals his Vrindavan pastimes. He displays his pastimes with his friends, with his parents, with his beloved gopis. He reveals his pastimes in that way, but enacting that pastimes of Vrindavan, Krishna considers, after he withdraws his pastimes, Jatishto Bihori Krishna Kore Antardhan, অন্তর্ধান করি মনে করে অনুমান। কৃষ্ণ এনঅ্যাক্টিং হিজ পাস্ট টাইমস, ওয়েন হি উইথড্রু হিজ পাস্ট টাইমস, হি কনসিডার্স দ্যাট আই হ্যাভ নাও রিভিল দিস পাস্ট টাইমস, বাট হাউ উইল এনি ওয়ান এভার এন্টার ইন টু দিস পাস্ট টাইমস। The consideration is, Krishna is considering that a devotee will render devotional service unto me following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. That is the general mood of a devotee. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Bidhing Bina, Oikantiki, Harer Bhaktir, Utpato, Iva Kalpati. If devotional service, even though it is very, very sincere, earnest, but if it is not executed following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, it will simply create a disturbance. So there's a very clear understanding in the scriptures that devotional service must be rendered following a bidhi, the rules and regulations of the scriptures. But the problem is that when devotional service is rendered following the rules and regulations of the scriptures or following Vaidhi Bhakti, when one achieves perfection, he goes to Vaikuntha. What is the ultimate destination of Vaidhi Bhakti? I'm sure all of you know, Vaidhi Bhakti leads to Vaikuntha. Now, if you go to Vaikuntha, you will get your spiritual sarup, spiritual identity. That is not changeable. That's eternal. So how will you go to Vrindavan, which is beyond Vaikuntha? So Krishna felt that this is a problem. That how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? Now I reveal my Vrindavan pastimes, but how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? Because devotees following Vaidhi Bhakti, when he achieves perfection, will go to Vaikuntha. And devotees will always serve me following the rules and regulations of the scriptures of Vaidhi Bhakti. Therefore, Krishna, who is all-powerful, all-cognizant, he devised a policy, a way out. So what is the way out? He decided to come as a devotee. And when this devotee Krishna is rendered devotional service following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, then he becomes eligible to enter into Vrindavan. So the point here is, you serve Krishna following Vaidhi Bhakti, you serve Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead following Vaidhi Bhakti, you'll go to Vaikuntha. You serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee following Vaidhi Bhakti, you will go to Vrindavan. So this is the special arrangement that Krishna made after withdrawing his pastimes in Vrindavan. Now there is also another consideration here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is let's put it this way. Following Vaidhi Bhakti, the way to go to Vaikuntha is Vaidhi Bhakti. Way to enter into Vrindavan is Raganuga Bhakti. But the point has been made here, Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion has very clearly pointed out, devotional service must be rendered following rules and regulations or Vaidhi Bhakti. So he is kind of discouraging to go in the path of Raganuga Bhakti that way. When someone is qualified, then he can do that. But that is not to be followed by the people in general, devotees in general. Now, what is the meaning of the word Raganuga Bhakti? Raganuga bhakti, rag means love, and anuga means follow. So following the loving devotees, when we render devotional service, following the loving devotees, that means the devotees of Vrindavan, who has only love for Krishna. They are known as ragatmika bhaktas. Ragatmika bhaktas. So when devotional service is executed following the ragatmika bhakta, then that becomes raganuga bhakti. Okay, now you just consider Krishna, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Is it just Krishna? Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So when you are rendering service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom are you following? Now who is the best ragatmika bhakta in Vrindavan? So when you are rendering devotional service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what kind of service you are rendering? Vaidhi bhakti to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is automatically being transformed into raganuga bhakti. So in order to enable the living entities to enter into Vrindavan, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Krishna consciousness. He not only initiated this Sankirtan movement, Jaggai Sankirtana Prayoi, Jajantihi Sumedhasaha, or Sankirtanai Kapitarau Kamalaya Takshau. Pitarau, he is the father of Sankirtan. Pitarau is actually two numbers. Pita, Pitarau, Pitaraha. So Pitarau, two fathers. So who are these two fathers of Sankirtan? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. They started this Sankirtan movement. Not only they started the Sankirtan movement, but they distributed Krishna consciousness all over India. Mahaprabhu literally inundated India with this Sankirtan at that time. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a wonderful prediction. An incredible prediction. 500 years ago, when people did not even know how many continents are there in this planet. America was not discovered at that time. People were not aware of America. People were to speak of Australia, Oceania. People did not know about how many continents were there. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a prediction that in every town and village all over the world, this Krishna consciousness movement will spread. Isn't it an inconceivable prediction? In every town and village? Now, did he mean every town and village in India? No. Because he already inundated India with Krishna consciousness. He spread it all over India himself. Therefore, when he mentioned every town and village all over the world, he literally meant all over the world. Now, it's an impossible prediction. It's an inconceivable prediction. But it became true. Do we have any doubt now about this possibility of this prediction coming true? At least we are seeing that Srila Prabhupada has already done that. So when we see that Srila Prabhupada came and did that, can we possibly have any doubt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually sent Srila Prabhupada to accomplish that mission? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accomplished this mission by through Srila Prabhupada. That's why he actually sent him. And we can also see how incredible was Srila Prabhupada's achievement. Srila Prabhupada came to America when he was 70 years old. Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada came here, Srila Prabhupada did not know anybody in America. Srila Prabhupada didn't know where he was going to stay. America is an expensive country. Srila Prabhupada didn't have any money. Just with $6 in his pocket. What $6 in America? One couldn't last for more than 6 hours, probably, with $6 in America. In such uncertainty, Srila Prabhupada came here. How can anybody take such a risk unless and until he is completely convinced that this is going to happen by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Of course, he was taking a risk, apparently. But it was a calculated risk, I'll say. It was a calculated risk. He knew, Mahaprabhu said it is bound to happen. So let me give it a try. That was Prabhupada's mood at that time. And then, I'm sure you all have heard this incident. Srila Prabhupada just came to New York, and Srila Prabhupada was just staying in a friend's. He just managed to rent an apartment at that time. And Prabhupada used to go for a walk in Central Park in New York. And he didn't have any follower at that time. He was just alone, walking in a park, sat down in a bench. One Jewish gentleman, seeing him, became curious. In those days, there were not so many Indians in America. Indians were quite a rare commodity. And seeing not only an Indian, but dressed in such a way, saffron robes. And so he sat next to Srila Prabhupada and started to ask him questions. Who are you? Where you came from? And in course of the discussion, Prabhupada told him that he has many temples, he has many devotees. So the man got quite surprised. He said, "You said you just came the other day. And now you're saying that you have many temples and so forth." Prabhupada said, "Yes, they're there. Only time is separating us. They're there. In due course of time, they'll become manifest." So this is how we can see how convinced Srila Prabhupada was about the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he took up the mission. Another consideration, look at Prabhupada, foresight or conviction. It's not just foresight, it's a conviction. He is establishing his institution in a small little storefront, 26 Second Avenue. A few young Americans have come forward helping him. So Prabhupada decided to register his institution, his society. A lawyer came. Prabhupada gave the name, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. A small little storefront, but international. International Society. Anyway, they didn't mind that so much. But they had a problem with this Krishna consciousness. Not only the lawyer, but even Prabhupada's own followers started to tell Prabhupada that Swamiji, those days Prabhupada was not identified as Prabhupada, Swamiji. Swamiji, instead of calling it Krishna consciousness, I think it will be better to call it God consciousness. But Prabhupada stood his ground. No. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I have come here to teach everybody that Krishna is God. Krishna is God. And then we see what actually happened. Now another consideration, the divine arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Look at America's situation in mid-60s. After the Second World War, America rose to the height of material prosperity. America was the greatest nation, the most opulent country. But the youth of America became disillusioned. In spite of this material success, they were completely disappointed. Disillusion. Money cannot buy love. So they are looking for a positive alternative, a counterculture, another culture that will give them the ultimate fulfillment of their existence. Of course, how they are pursuing that objective, that's another issue. But the scene was perfectly set for Srila Prabhupada to come. When American youth was looking for the positive alternative, Srila Prabhupada came and gave them the real alternative, spiritual alternative, Krishna consciousness. And then we see that how the scene was set. Srila Prabhupada comes, a single person, alone, without any resources, without any patronage, without any support. But then, his followers started to come to him. And what kind of commitment, what kind of dedication. These young Americans who could not, those days, these young Americans could not even deal with somebody who is beyond 30. Those who are beyond 30, those who are above 30 years old, they belong to another world. They didn't belong to their world. When they could not even accept one who is above 30, Srila Prabhupada, a 70-year-old man, came and completely won them over. And they literally got won over by Srila Prabhupada in such a way that they offered him themselves completely to his mission, to his lotus feet. It's very interesting to note how these devotees have committed themselves, what they have done for Srila Prabhupada. Young American boys and girls completely surrendered themselves to Srila Prabhupada. And in this community, in Los Angeles community, you have so many such examples from that day, like Naikatma Prabhu is sitting here. A young man. How old were you? 17? 18? 18-year-old boy just offered himself. And not only him, his two other brothers. Subhas Prabhu and Vyapi Prabhu. Three brothers. Father must have had a heart attack. Then look at the personalities like Mukunda Maharaj. At that time, a young musician, Michael Grant, literally fell in love with Srila Prabhupada. He would do anything for Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada didn't have any place to stay and he was eagerly trying to get a place to start his mission, it is Mukunda Maharaj who actually made that arrangement. He is the one who got this 22nd Avenue. He is the one who actually got the house, the apartment where Prabhupada was staying at the back of 22nd Avenue. And not only that, he considered that the real thing is happening in San Francisco, in the West Coast, not New York. At that time, the youth movement, the counterculture, which was known as the hippie movement, although the hippies didn't identify themselves as hippies, they used to call themselves freaks. So their world was in San Francisco. So Prabhupada told him to go to San Francisco and get a place like this, like 22nd Avenue, a small little storefront. And he did that. And he dragged in two other friends of his, Shamsundar Prabhu and Gurudas Prabhu, along with their girlfriends, Malati Mataji and Jamuna Mataji. And Mukunda Maharaj was already married to his girlfriend, Janaki Devi. So Prabhupada actually told them, now that you have become initiated, you can't live like boyfriend, girlfriend. You have to get married. So they got married. So three of them started in San Francisco. And not only in San Francisco, after setting up the scene in America, these three couples went to England. And in England, they were trying to spread Krishna consciousness. They also went there in total uncertainty. No money, no resources, nothing. They were staying in some Indian families, and those days, most of the Indians in UK also were not very well to do. They were mostly Indians from the East Africa. Idi Amin drove them out, or rather, out of fear of Idi Amin, they left Uganda and came to England. But they were generous, they were pious. They were the ones, those who were hosting them, these three couples. They didn't know what to do. They went there with a big hope that they will start the Krishna consciousness movement, but nothing was happening. But then one day they saw a picture of the Beatles wearing Indian clothes. The Beatles at that time became influenced by Mahesh Yogi. So they went to India. And they thought that it will be nice to approach the Beatles, because they have been open to Indian culture. So probably they will accept Krishna consciousness. See how Krishna is actually making the arrangements, as if Krishna, as a super soul, inspired them from within. Yeah, go to the Beatles. So, but it was not easy to meet the Beatles because they were the greatest celebrities of that time. But Shamsundar Prabhu had a friend from the West Coast. He was the manager of the Grateful Dead musical group. His name was Rock Scully. And he just bumped into Rock Scully one day in London. Hey, what are you doing here? I came to meet the Beatles. Shamsundar Prabhu asked, can you please also introduce us to the Beatles? He said, yeah, sure, come to Apple Studio on such and such day. So Shamsundar Prabhu goes to meet the Beatles through the introduction of the Rock Scully. But when he went to the studio, the gatekeeper wouldn't let him in. He said, no. Do you have any appointment? He tried to convince, yes, I have an appointment. And he told about Roxcalli, but he wouldn't accept it. But at that time, Yoko Ono, John Lennon's Japanese wife, just shows up there, driving in her white Rolls Royce. And seeing Shamsundar Prabhu dressed in dhoti kurta, she says, "Hey, you must be a friend of John and George." And he says, "Yes, yes." So she says, "Come on in." So she took him in. Another divine arrangement of Krishna. He's waiting, sitting there, no sign of Roxcalli. But George Harrison just was passing by. He just came out of his chamber and he was passing by. He sees Shamsundar Prabhu. And he said, "Hey, where you all been? I saw you all guys in San Francisco and since then I've been trying to meet you, but I couldn't find you." Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadhish ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. So, George Harrison himself comes forward and tells him, "Hey, we are looking for you." And then George Harrison invites him, "Please come to my house one day." And this is how it all started. He became so impressed with the Krishna consciousness movement that he wanted to meet Srila Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada got to know that, he decided to come over to London. And that's how it all started. George Harrison, although did not take initiation from Srila Prabhupada, he accepted Srila Prabhupada as his guru and helped him in such an incredible way. The first thing he did is help Prabhupada to print a Krishna book. And then he bought for Prabhupada the Bhaktivedanta Manor in Lechmere Heath. And helped. And then the more biggest help actually came when he when they made this album, My Sweet Lord. And that song created an incredible sensation worldwide. "I really want to see you, my Lord." And the youth all over the world became affected by this music. "Oh, the Beatles have become Hare Krishna, so Hare Krishna must be the real thing." And then we saw how it happened. And Prabhupada himself used to say that people speak about miracles, people want to see miracles. Let them see the biggest miracle that happened. The individuals, those who didn't have any concern, any connection to Vedic culture and inclination towards God, they have embraced the Vedic culture wholeheartedly. And they are offering themselves to spread this movement all over the world. And so many such individuals gave such inconceivable support to Srila Prabhupada. Recently, as I mentioned, day before yesterday, I was with Giriraj Maharaj and Indradumna Maharaj. And while I was speaking about how the young Americans came forward to help Srila Prabhupada, obviously it's a clear indication that they are actually related to Prabhupada from their past lives. It's not just a chance happening. Prabhupada himself said, once a devotee was telling Prabhupada, with a very humble state of mind, Prabhupada, I was so fallen. I was so engrossed in all kinds of sinful activities. And you came and saved me. Prabhupada told him in response, no, that was all superficial. Your fallen condition was superficial. Because as soon as I called, you came. As soon as Srila Prabhupada came to America, all these young boys and girls came forward as if they were just waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come. By Krishna's divine arrangement, they were planted in different parts of this world. And when Srila Prabhupada came, they came forward. Some simple happenings completely changed their lives. I recall Giriraj Maharaj's encounter with Srila Prabhupada. The first thing Prabhupada told him, something to the effect that you are trying to be God. What did you get out of that? So that, and from just that, from that meeting, Giriraj Maharaj realized the mistake that we are not God, we cannot become God. Our situation is that we are servants of God. That is our real identity. And that is what Srila Prabhupada reminded everybody, and they accepted. Just in one encounter with Srila Prabhupada, this fact became clear to them. Although at one time they were trying to become God through practicing yoga and so forth, and by being misdirected by all kinds of so-called spiritual leaders from India, but Srila Prabhupada came and gave them the real information. You are not God. You are only a servant of God. And we have seen what happened to these individuals. The Giriraj Maharaj, his father was a very, very wealthy person. He left everything and joined Srila Prabhupada. His father tried to allure him back, offering him $1 million. Those days, $1 million was a lot of money. But he didn't go for that, no. Srila Prabhupada is my only shelter. And he went to India. He did so much for Srila Prabhupada. Coming from such an opulent background, but he goes to Bombay where there was nothing. No proper accommodation for staying. Just with bamboos and tins, they created some structure and they were staying there. The place was full of rats. Like when they would lie down in bed on the floor, the rats would crawl all over. Lived in that condition, underwent so many difficulties, but just achieved such wonderful things for Srila Prabhupada. The preaching in Bombay, he made such an amazing contribution. Once somebody was telling that he went, Udayananda Prabhu was telling, that wherever he went in Bombay, he was trying to introduce himself that he is from Hare Krishna movement. And practically everybody was saying, oh yes, I know Giriraj Das Brahmachari. Giriraj Brahmachari. Those days he was a Brahmachari. And he had such incredible influence among very high-class Indians in Bombay at that time. Most of the very high-class families, he had his connection with them. Prabhupada used to consider these young Americans that he took to India to preach as his dancing white elephants. Prabhupada himself used to explain what's the meaning of dancing white elephants. Prabhupada said, elephants are already attractive. When the elephant goes, people become attracted. But a white elephant? And if that white elephant dances, so it will create such a sensation. And that's what happened. These young Americans went to India, and they created such a sensation all over India. That's how the movement started to grow. And so many such amazing personalities came to help Srila Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, such a brilliant person. Just one meeting, just one darshan of Srila Prabhupada, completely surrendered himself. And Srila Prabhupada used him in such a amazing way. Like he used to, wherever there was some big things happening, he would send Tamal Krishna Maharaj. When George Harrison became attracted to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Maharaj to London to introduce book distribution. He sent him then after that from London to France, Paris, Frankfurt, Zurich, all these European countries, he started to establish Krishna consciousness. So many such wonderful devotees. Even that reminds me, Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Maharaj to China. And today we can see what's happening in China. And Prabhupada said that the biggest thing will be happening in China. When China takes to Krishna consciousness, that will be an amazing thing. And it's happening. It's unfortunate that Krishna called him back at such a critical time when he was needed so much. It happened in a rather funny way. Tamal Krishna Maharaj became so popular, his Radha Damodar party, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and his friend Vishnujan Maharaj, they started a traveling book distribution campaign. They got an old Greyhound bus and they started the Radha Damodar party. And eventually they, I think, had four buses, Nikatma Prabhu? Six buses, yeah. They had six buses. And wherever they would go, that would create a sensation. I mean, I'm talking about the temples. All the brahmacharis wanted to leave the temple and join the Radha party. And the temple presidents complained to Srila Prabhupada that all the devotees are leaving the temple because of Radha Damodar party. So Prabhupada asked him to do something else. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was quite attached, naturally quite attached to his Radha Damodar party. So giving vent to his frustration, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Then do you want me to go to China? Like, I mean, what am I going to do? Should I go to China?" And Prabhupada said, "That's a good idea." And Prabhupada stuck to that. Go to China. And we can see what is happening in China today. And it's all done by him. He was an expert organizer. I had the good fortune of being close to him and being associated. I mean, practically we lived in the same room for 10 months serving Srila Prabhupada. So wherever we went, we shared the same room. such an amazing personality. And he was, he couldn't go to China. Those days, China was practically behind Iron Curtain. Not Iron Curtain, maybe multi-steel curtain. And so his base was Hong Kong. He made his base in Hong Kong and he was preaching to China from there. And in Hong Kong, they would not take to Krishna consciousness. People are very materially motivated, very materialistic. He saw that they would not take to Krishna consciousness. So he devised a means to attract them by taking a couple of devotees from America, from the West Coast actually. He took them and started. They were expert in yoga. And Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj started the yoga school. Started to give yoga lessons through them. And in no time, there were 10 devotees who joined the temple. Through yoga, he actually got them to bhakti yoga. And he was very broad-minded also, very open. Like they would not, the Chinese, you know their food habits. It's pretty exciting. So, and of course in ISKCON we don't take mushrooms. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj allowed them to have mushrooms. And then I saw that they gave up the mushroom on their own. He allowed them to have mushroom. For some times they took, but then these boys gave up. So, in the early 80s, he created quite a sensation. But then gradually it started to develop in China. And so all these wonderful devotees, they are Srila Prabhupada's real achievement. What Srila Prabhupada did is inconceivable. Spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world in 10 years' time. And to continue the mission, this is the expertise, this is the unique achievement of Srila Prabhupada, is establish an institution to continue his mission. Srila Prabhupada knew that he didn't have much time. Therefore, Prabhupada's main emphasis was actually on the institution of ISKCON. As soon as he started to preach, the first thing he did, establish ISKCON. And he put the institution in the forefront. He did not put himself in the forefront. People knew about ISKCON movement, Hare Krishna movement, but they didn't know, have any idea who was the personality behind the movement. In the 60s, many Indian gurus came to America. They established their institutions, but all those institutions were named after themselves. But Prabhupada's institution, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is Krishna's movement, not the International Society for Prabhupada Consciousness. In this way, he just sets up this amazing structure. Prabhupada himself said that the biggest challenge will be after he left the planet. He did not directly say it, but indirectly he pointed that out. He said that after an acharya leaves the planet, there's bound to be crisis. And we thought that that may have happened in other institutions, but that won't happen in ISKCON. And besides that, those days we did not think that Prabhupada would leave. We all thought that Prabhupada would stay for many, many years to come. And then we saw an Acharya like Srila Prabhupada left the planet. How can we not expect the crisis? The crisis hit the institution quite badly. But because of this collective concept of management that Srila Prabhupada gave, this institution has been able to withstand all those onslaughts. Generally we see after the founder of a spiritual institution leaves, very soon the institution disintegrates. But with ISKCON, about 36 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is still there. And not only that, it's expanding, it's growing. So these are the wonderful arrangement of Srila Prabhupada. And this movement is here to fulfill the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada came and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, creating the foundation. And then he created this institution to further his mission. And Krishna consciousness will keep on spreading and eventually to every town and village. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes. Is there any mic? Maybe you can tell me, I can relate.
Thank you, Maharaj, for glorifying Prabhupada and enlightening our hearts with Prabhupada's glories. My question is, when Krishna was covering all the Vrajavasis with his internal potency and not revealing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you, Maharaj, for...
Thank you, Maharaj, for wonderful glorification of Prabhupada. When Krishna was manifesting his Vrindavan pastimes, he didn't allow himself to be revealed. He didn't reveal himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we say, we hear that the love of Vrajvasis was causeless. But what was it in Krishna that was attracting them so much? What was it, his beauty, his qualities? Because they didn't know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even then, Brajvasis was totally attracted and surrendered.
Good, very good point.
Thank you.
What's the meaning of the word Krishna?
All attractive.
Do you get the answer? He's all attractive. Who can help it? Who can help but become attracted to him? And then if you consider, what are the features of attraction? Beauty, strength, knowledge, fame, opulence, and renunciation. And all these six, Krishna has to the fullest extent. Therefore, he is all attractive. Right? Thank you. Any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It seems like we went to the past time like 40 years ago and we walked along with Prabhupada. It's so fantastic. My question is like, God comes to earth whenever there is a necessary for his appearance. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here 500 years ago. So he came here because people were losing the faith of God consciousness, or are people forgetting God? What was the reason?
Yeah, very good. Very good point. Yeah. The situation at that time was very, very critical. So much so that Advaita Acharya considered that only Krishna can save this situation. Save the world from this situation. Therefore, Advaita Acharya started to call Krishna. by offering Tulasi and Ganga water, calling him, Krishna, please come. It has been described in this way. Ganga Bari Monohari Tulasadi Manjari Krishna Gyana Sada Dhyana Premavari Jharjari Kripabdhi Koruna Natha Diyatang Sudarshanam. There we Ganga Bari, Ganga water, and Tulasi Manjari. With tears flowing from his eyes, he used to call, O Krishna, please come and save the situation. Because the world was, and he considered that only Krishna could save the situation, no one else. He himself is Mahavishnu. But he felt that he couldn't do it. He couldn't save the situation, and therefore his need for Krishna to come. And that's why Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful presentation. Sometimes we think that for being a Raganuga Bhakti, we need to find a Ragatmika devotee from Vrindavan. So by the way how you explain is by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani is the greatest Ragatmika Bhakta. So automatically we are doing Raganuga Bhakti. So I want to be sure if that is the right understanding.
Yes, very good. Yeah, that's the right understanding. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Pranam Maharaj, thank you very much for such a nice class. So when Lord Vishnu comes as an incarnation, as Krishna in the other millenniums, does he display those four qualities also, the total 64?
Good, very good point. Answer is no. Because only the original person, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, displays those four qualities, extra qualities. Other incarnations are expansions of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu.
So one of them is also Rupa Madhurya, which is all attractiveness. So Lord Vishnu does not display that when he comes as Krishna?
No, that this beauty of Vishnu doesn't attract Radharani.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your wonderful presentation. In just relation to Mataji's question, you were mentioning that Krishna exhibits three kinds of completeness in Mathura, Vrindavan, and Dwarka, right? So in that case, is the difference in Krishna displaying these 64 qualities in these three dhams? So, how to understand?
Yeah, only Krishna of Vrindavan displayed all the 64 qualities. Dwarkesh Krishna does not. And Mathuresh Krishna, although Mathuresh Krishna is in a way superior, because in him, you see, Dwarkesh Krishna, the awareness that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is quite prevalent. Whereas in Mathuresh Krishna, it's not that prevalent. And in Vrindavan, it is not prevalent. Like his devotees, the devotees of Vrindavan, although they know, as I was pointing out, out of love, there's a forgetfulness. Their love for Krishna is so intense that they're not interested in his aspect as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are simply interested in him according to their loving relationship. You are my friend. That's what matters to the friends. you are my child and you are my lover. That is their mood. They are not concerned about anything else. Whether you are God or not is secondary. You don't care. That is their attitude.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for wonderful class, Maharaj. I liked your points about like how in the 1970s so many empowered, like so many innovative approach was taken for preaching, like approaching George Harrison and having these music records, and then like Tamal Krishna Maharaj was using the yoga approach to bring them to Bhakti Yoga, and like we see Indradyumna Maharaj doing Poland festivals. And so in the current times also, we may need to have this innovative approach to bring people into the movement. At the same time, this conservative approach, or like how the people, those who are coming into the movement through this preaching, how they can be connected to, they can appreciate the Prabhupada the way like you're like giving us. So how can we connect the new people as such to appreciate Prabhupada's compassion? Do you have any suggestions?
It's happening. That's why you all became attracted. Right? Like had there not been some innovative preaching, you all wouldn't have become attracted. Right? Now you all figure out how you're going to make it more innovative. Right? Now that you all are coming forward, take up this mission and push this movement forward. Like yes, we have to, like it is happening. Say for example, one of Radhanath Maharaj's disciples in Pune, Radhesham Prabhu, he is actually doing an amazing preaching to the youth in the IITs. Like IIT students are, I presume you are from India, yeah? Like they're considered to be the creams. From which college you are? Okay. Thought as well. So there, had you been, you know Radhesham Prabhu? Okay. So that is an innovative preaching. And that's why I said you all are becoming attracted.
Specifically for India, it's for the Indian people to come and appreciate Prabhupada is a little bit more easier. I'm talking about Americans who's coming through the like yoga.
Well, when Prabhupada was in India, it was the most difficult thing. When Prabhupada was in India, the Indians didn't become attracted. Therefore, Prabhupada had to leave India and come to America. And therefore, Prabhupada had to take the Americans to India to attract the Indians. And today also we are seeing the Indians, when they come out of India and come to America, then they become devotees. Right? Not so many Indians are becoming, I mean, well, now it's happening, I must admit. So to go back to that innovative preaching, like, yes, our target should be the youth. And then the youth should also be motivated to commit themselves to the mission. When Prabhupada was here, the youth were not really going after taking up a job or career. So you all have to seriously consider that. You know what Prabhupada told me in one of our first meetings? Prabhupada told me, for so many lifetimes you are trying to enjoy. And you can see you are still not satisfied. Just offer this life to Krishna. First he said, just offer this life to Krishna. Offer this life to Krishna. And then he said, for so many lifetimes you are trying to enjoy and you can see that you are still not satisfied. And then he spoke to me for a great length, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. I didn't keep the track of time. And Prabhupada was just pointing out about the futility of our materialistic endeavors and the need for committing ourselves to Krishna consciousness. Are you married? Okay, you're safe. So seriously consider that. Because once you're married, you won't be able to commit yourself. And just consider making money, getting positions, what's the use? Everyone is doing that. Do something different. Push this movement forward, because that is the important thing for this world. Yes, you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for very enlightening and inspiring class. My question is, in the institution ISKCON, down the years, as second, third, fourth generation devotees, we'll be serving in the mode of servant to servant with the disciples and disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I want to ask first, is it reasonable to expect? And if yes, what should be the mood?
Expect what?
The mercy of Srila Prabhupada, yeah, and the connection. And if so, how the connection as it was there with, you know, devotees who were in 1970s and 1965 with Prabhupada. Mm. So can we expect that mercy and connections still with us? And if yes, how what should be the mood?
Very good question. Yes, as long as ISKCON will be there, the devotees of ISKCON will have a direct connection to Srila Prabhupada. That's why Prabhupada's position as the founder acharya is so important. Prabhupada is not only the founder of ISKCON, Prabhupada is also the acharya of ISKCON, He is the acharya, he is the spiritual master, the spiritual master of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. And in that sense, yes, everybody will have his right or opportunity to be connected to ISKCON. Because time and for over a period of time, just consider, whose teachings will prevail in ISKCON? Prabhupada's books are the basis. On the basis of the book, just as we give classes, we present our points on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's books. That will continue to happen for thousands of years to come. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada's position will always remain intact. Yes. How are you? Hi, Krishna.
In the Brahma Vimoha Lila,
yeah,
when Lord Brahma steals the cows, and then Krishna replicates himself as the calves, and then the cows, and then the cowherd boys. When you're talking about this rasa that the people in Vrindavan have, to me it seems amazing that Krishna actually came as their children. And they must have been pretty good parents for Krishna to want to come as their children. They were
yeah, that's true.
Very loving.
Yeah.
Otherwise Krishna probably wouldn't have come.
Exactly. And not only the parents, even the cows. So Krishna fulfilled their desire also. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for bringing up this point. Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for the nice talk. I was going to ask you, is it true that things like Bhagavatam class and service and deity worship are meant to strengthen your attachment to the holy names?
Yes, yes. Because when in Bhagavatam class, what are you listening to? What are you hearing? You're hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're hearing about His qualities. You're hearing about the way to become connected to Him. Now, who is that Supreme Personality of Godhead? How that Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifest now? As the Holy Name, right? So when you develop your attachment to Krishna, you are actually developing your attachment to the Holy Name. Or your real attachment to Krishna will become manifest through how you are becoming attached to the Holy Name. Right? Dwarkadhish has a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it was an excellent class. Thank you very much. The question is then, in Golok Vrindavan,
those three predominant rasas, which is friendship, with parental and conjugal. So when the Pushtimargi Vallabhacharya, when they worship Krishna as a Bal Krishna, he was when he was 7 years old, when they worship Krishna, since they are showing that parental rasa, will they go to Vaikuntha or will they go to Golok Vrindavan?
It's difficult to say. I don't really know much about Pushtimarg and their teachings. I don't know. They have some consideration of this madhur relationship. But to what extent, you know. But the general understanding is that all four sampradayas, their destination is actually Vaikuntha. So if you consider, if Pushtimarg falls in,
Rudra
Sampradaya, then the destination is actually Vaikuntha. Vrindavan is, the gateway to Vrindavan is opening through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, Mahaprabhu actually took this aspect from, you know, from four sampradayas, Mahaprabhu took eight aspects. From Pushtimarg, he took this aspect, Radha Krishna worship, you know, Radha Krishna worship, or rather worship to Radha Krishna. Yes, you have a question here. Yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
To see you here. Thank you very much. One time, Prabhupada was explaining to some of his disciples how his books will become the law books for humanity for next 10,000 years. So, as that statement is coming directly from Prabhupada, that definitely will be a fact. So, did Prabhupada at any time gave further details, at least general details, how that was going to develop, or is there any scripture or sastric injunction?
Not that I know of Prabhupada directly saying, but I mean I can tell you how I took it. That ultimate consideration of law is the law that has been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? The ultimate consideration of law is not the law that's given by the government, but the law that has been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that law has been presented by Srila Prabhupada through his books. Right? And eventually, the governments also will become Krishna conscious. Because we can't expect that Krishna consciousness will spread in every town and village all over the world and the governments are not Krishna conscious. It will be rather the other way around. When the governments become Krishna conscious, then they can pass a law. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling, and 16 rounds every day. So when the government actually takes it up, then it becomes easy to implement. So when the government becomes Krishna conscious, which law they will follow? The law that has been presented in Srila Prabhupada's books. How the human society should be structured, how the government should run, and what should be the standard of, you know, standard of government's policy. All that will be based on Srila Prabhupada's books. Because, and I'll also consider, Prabhupada's books means what? Prabhupada's books means Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are not Prabhupada's books. Right? These books have been presented by Srila Prabhupada through his Bhaktivedanta purport. But actually these are the words of Krishna and about Krishna. So that is the uniqueness of these books. They are not something that Prabhupada himself concocted. These are coming from the spiritual sky. Okay, yes. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I had this question that the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple is eternal. And it looks impossible that for all the living entities in the material world, all the spiritual masters in the spiritual world are present and at the same time. So how do we understand that if the soul accepts the shelter of a spiritual master in this life, is he the eternal spiritual master, or is he sent by an eternal spiritual master to as a representative? How to understand this?
Well, I will suggest that you try to understand by applying it in your life. You get the point? Like, what is going to happen with others and how the spiritual masters are going to execute their job? Don't get into that, because you'll never get any answer. Right? What really matters is how you're going to commit to your spiritual master. And you have that confidence that, yes, your spiritual master will always be there to deliver you. There's one question here.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class and sharing Prabhupada's real life. Thank you for sharing the Prabhupada's realization, so that we don't know, we don't have the direct contact, at least by listening from acharyas like you, we came to know that. So my question is like the question asked by about the Brahma Vimochana Leela. In that 1 year, those all Vrindavasis got Krishna as their son. Or so what was the pious activities or deeds they did to get that? For at least 1 year.
Not pious activities. That's not a result of pious activities. That is their devotion to Krishna. That's not just pious activities. Their love for Krishna was so intense that Krishna had to fulfill their desire. They wanted Krishna to be their son. They were thinking, oh, Krishna is Yasoda's son. I wish I could have Krishna as my son. Krishna said, okay. And not only that, you know, that year, Krishna told Nanda Maharaj that this is a very good time for the young girls to get married. So they got married to different cowherd boys. Now who did they get married to? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We can end the class with a short kirtan. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschata Deshutarine.